I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always, always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very, very real presence in your life. Okay, so in a few days, we'll officially have entered the 2020 Christmas holiday season, and it'll no doubt look different than we probably envisioned it a few months ago. Maybe this is the perfect year to ask ourselves, so what are we celebrating, really? I mean, better yet, who are we celebrating? I think we know the answer, right? It's Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of all kings. So what if God has something especially special that He wants to impart to you this holiday season that could be imparted no other way than to interrupt your plans? Asherita Chuchu joins me today to talk about her Advent devotional. It's one of my favorite Advent devos out there. It's titled Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, an Advent Devotional. It's this little hardcover, beautiful book that packs a punch, and I'm so thrilled to tell you, we have 6 copies to give away. What a way to start your Advent journey. If you want in on the giveaway, just text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement before we hear from Asherita. If you haven't signed up yet for our great giveaway, I pray that you'll consider it. It doesn't cost you anything, except it will cost you something, because the great giveaway... That didn't make any sense, but let me explain. The great giveaway is we're just mobilizing as many people as we can to engage in random acts of kindness this holiday season. And it'll culminate on my birthday, December 18th. We'll open the show, the phone lines, and it's like you're coming back from the mission field to share some of the things that God did. And the reason we want you to sign up is we want to send you a little card that you kind of include if you're dropping off a gift basket or shoveling somebody's driveway, just a little note saying, there's a bunch of us doing random acts of kindness. Just want you to know you're seen and you're heard. So if you're interested in joining us, I pray that you will. You get a few cards in the mail. You can go to our website, myfaithradio.com. You'll see the great giveaway on that homepage. Sign up and say, count me in. I'm doing this thing. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Asherita Chuchu is an author, speaker, and blogger. She grew up in Romania as a missionary kid, studied English and women's ministry at Cedarville University in Ohio. Her passion is helping women find joy in Jesus through a deeper walk with God. She's married to Flaviu. I think I'm saying his name right. I might get it wrong every year. And together they raise their spunky children in Northeast Ohio. Asherita, I just love you. Welcome back to the show.
Susie, thank you so much for having me again. It's my pleasure.
Is it Flaviu? How do I say your dear husband's
name? Yes, it is. It's Flaviu.
Yay. What a beautiful name. All right. Well, you know this. You've been on plenty of times before, but we love to start by talking scripture. And I know you're a woman of the word. So what do you say? What passage has been speaking to you these days?
Yeah, so I'm reading through the Bible in a year with my husband. And right now we are just wrapped up the book of Acts. But about 2 weeks ago, I was in the book of John, and there's this passage where Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I remember sitting with that verse. This is John 14:13, and just thinking, when's the last time I actually asked God for something big and bold that I couldn't pull off on my own? And Susie, it was a moment of reflection and confession, because I realized, I think for many of us, 2020 has been such a difficult year and upending in many ways, and routines that we're used to are different. And I feel like I just kind of pulled inwardly and saying, I just want to be safe. And it felt like in that moment with the Lord, as I was praying and saying, God, what is it that you are calling me to do in these last, at that point, it was 50 days left in the year. In these last 50 days, what do you want me to pray and ask boldly in your name so that you may be glorified in your Son? Hmm. And like my heart started beating so fast, because I'm like, this doesn't feel safe. I mean, I know God is good and He's for us, but kind of putting myself out there felt really uncomfortable. And I reading then through the book of Acts and watching how the Spirit of God worked in powerful ways in individual people's lives was just an affirmation of, yes, God is still working through His Spirit, even in 2020. And finally, last week, I sent an email to my readers and I said, this is my big and my bold prayer that the Lord has laid on my heart. And it's a prayer that 100 churches would use unwrapping the names of Jesus in their churches and small groups. And Susie, that for me is like such a wild dream. Like, I don't even know how that would happen. And even when I hit send on the email, like my heart was beating fast because I'm like, Lord, did I hear you right? Does this prayer honor you? Like, I just want to make much of Jesus. And Susie, within moments, there were emails flooding my inbox of people saying, this is the confirmation that I need. Like, I was sitting in church Sunday thinking about what should I do for the rest of my year? And this God answered my prayer through your email. And that was about a week ago. And there are dozens of churches and people around the country who will be going through this Advent devotional. And I'm just over here like, it feels like I'm living in the book of Acts. Like, God's Spirit,
I love it.
So powerful. I just love it.
And what I love about that story, Asherita, is that you ask God, what impossible thing would give your son the most glory? You know, to me, you want to enter the wild when it comes to praying audaciously and impossibly. Believe for the impossible, ask for the impossible, but ask God first, what impossible thing would you like to do? Because in 1 John, it says, if you pray his will, you can not only know that he hears you, you can know that you'll have that which you ask of him. That's kind of amazing, you know?
Yeah. And that's just, I, for me personally, it's so redemptive for 2020 to be able to say, I can look back on this year and pinpoint the exact week when my attitude toward this year changed. And I said, God, show me, what do you want to do through your Spirit? And to get to partner with him in that way, like, it just gives me so much hope. And hearing from other readers and just starting off this interview, you know, already, I know that there are people listening that God wants to use in a powerful way as we enter this holiday season. And that's just my encouragement right now. Like, ask God, what is it that you want to do with me this year, these next few weeks, that would glorify Jesus?
And then dare to have the heart of Mary, be it unto me according to your word and your will, O Lord. You know, I mean, wow. I mean, imagine, you know, the enemy had all kinds of plans for this year. But you know what? God always has a plan, a bigger plan. And I just pray that we could reclaim what's left of this year with faith, with hope and love. We could love the people that we find it hard to love, that we could hope and believe that God is up to something good and that we could believe him for the impossible. Imagine how things might change if you start planting those seeds now and looking for God to do something great. So I love that you started with that verse, and that's why I asked that question. Praise God for that. Well, this book, and you know what? This might be an answer to prayer. Friends listening today, at least 6 of you are going to get this book, and maybe you can do an Advent journey with friends via Zoom where you light the candle together and you talk together. There's like a response time, and then there's just a deeper dig into the names of Jesus. We're unwrapping the names of Jesus today, and we'll get into those. Again, we have 6 copies to give away. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. So you say, Asherita, that we so often get so wrapped up in getting everything ready and right for Christmas morning that we sometimes forget about the more important matters of Christmas. And then we wonder why, when we wake up on Christmas morning, we don't have more warm, fuzzy feelings about Jesus and his birthday. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, every year, right? I'm still looking at my list, like, did I buy gifts for everyone already? Am I forgetting something? Like, is it time to pull out the tree? Like, so many of my friends are already all decked out for Christmas because I think we want some of that winter wonderland in this year. And as we're looking at the Christmas season, it's easy then to think, this is it. Like, this is what it means to prepare for Christmas. It's getting my shopping list and getting it all done and pulling out the decorations and making sure I'm planning activities for my kids because maybe the Christmas play is canceled or there's no concert this year. And there's a pressure to try to create this most wonderful time of the year. Even though as Christians, and I'm guilty of this too, like even though as Christians we say, yeah, of course Christmas is about Jesus. But when we look at our planner or our to-do list, that's not reflected there necessarily. And so every year I get to this this moment in time, this day on the calendar where I look at the last few weeks of the year. And part of it is a conversation with the Lord. Like we started off our time together, opening our hands saying, God, what would you have for me? And part of it is also then carving out time to spend with him every day, not because we have to, not because it's something else on our list, not because necessarily we want to set a good example for our children of this is what we do because Jesus, like Christmas is about Jesus, but rather because of who Jesus is. He is the gift of Christmas. And when we unwrap his names, and I've been doing this now for 6 years and I never tire of it, when we spend time every day rediscovering who he is, it brings back the wonder of Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen. We're going to pause here. When we come back, as most of you know, Advent starts November 29th. But just as a gift to you today, we are going to unwrap some of the names of Jesus today. And the first one we're going to talk about is hope. Who doesn't need hope? Just want you to picture that. Tune out the news. Tune out the bad news and the stresses and the what ifs. Push it all aside. And we're going to unwrap hope because this is your heir right as a child of God. Jesus is the hope of the earth, and he's alive in you. Talking to Asherita Chuchu, talking about her Advent devotional, Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. It's a short book, short readings, and it packs a punch. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you
Hallelujah. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Asherita Chuchu, who's written a beautiful Advent devotional. I have her on every year, I think ever since it released, and it's just a timeless, precious treasure. It's a small hardcover book. If you need an Advent journey, invitation, something to walk through that you've not done before, text the word book if you want in on the drawing. Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. What a better way to celebrate Advent, to look at the different names of Jesus. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So let's look at hope. I love this verse you referenced from Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Beautiful. Say more about that.
Yeah, during the break, Susie, as we were just waiting to get back on, I was thinking about this, about hope and about what many of us are facing right now. Right, this year has brought to the forefront death and a global pandemic. And in face of that, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Our hope is not in any human solution or in any human sentiment. Our hope ultimately rests in Jesus, the one who created us and spoke life over us, and the one who promises that one day he will wipe every tear from our eyes. He will be the one who will heal our sicknesses. He will be the one who will give us life eternal. Even though our mortal bodies might taste death, we get to live the lives of the resurrected because Jesus is the resurrection of the life. I think about this year and how politics has torn the church apart. And yet when we look at the reality that Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the one who is seated on a throne of glory in heaven, and he's the one who has the ultimate say of what happens. And at the end of time, when every government ceases to exist, when presidents and dictators and kings and queens will be forgotten in the books of history, the name of Jesus will still be precious because he will be the King of Kings. Right, in a place where there's so much darkness and hopelessness and despair, Jesus is the light of the world. The psalmist says, "In your light we see light. And when we spend time with that light, he places that light inside us. So we get to be shining lights in our neighborhoods. Jesus is so relevant to every headline that we read, every email that hits our inbox. Jesus, that's why I say spending time with him changes everything.
Beautiful. You know, the Israelites were waiting for a political leader who'd free them from Roman oppression. And you're right, but Jesus' perspective is always bigger than ours. His gaze was set on the universal dilemma of sin. His battle was one of cosmic proportions to deliver all who believe in him from the bondage of soul-deadening sin and welcome us into the family of God. And boy, this is such a word for us today, Asherita. Again, if we try to battle things out on an earthly plane and what comes out of us is hate and vitriol because we think we're so right and they're so wrong, but what the fruit of that is hatred and divisive nature, we need to step back and go, Jesus is after something so much bigger than you getting your way right now. It's over redemption in your heart and mine and redemption for the world. I mean, he's always blowing the doors off of the limits, it seems, that we try to put on him.
Yeah. And I love that you brought that up because the name Jesus means savior. And in the Old Testament, the transliteration of the name Jesus is Joshua, Yeshua. And that name would have brought up images of Joshua, right? Of the warrior leader who led the Israelites into Canaan and who fought these bloody battles and they conquered the land. And that is the type of leader that the Israelites were waiting for. They wanted someone like that who would wage war against the Romans. Like they thought they had God's plan figured out. This is the type of salvation we need. And when Jesus shows up on the scene, he brings salvation, but in a way they didn't expect. And for that reason, many people rejected him. And I wonder today, as we look at the world around us and we say, save us, God, like we need salvation from these current circumstances. I wonder if Jesus' salvation is different than what we're expecting. If he is after rather the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, not necessarily that circumstances would be changed, but that we would be changed so that we go into those circumstances representing Jesus, being that light in a dark place, bringing love in a place full of hatred, bringing peace and hope and joy when none of that makes sense. I think that is the salvation that God is offering our world today in Jesus Christ.
So good. Amen. Somebody give me an amen. You know, I'm picturing the disciples at first, you know, dealing with Roman oppression long enough where they have what feels like righteous anger. They have attitude. And they're like, when are we getting started, Lord? When are we going to do this? When are we going to overpower Rome? But when they have that mindset, it stirs up more of the flesh. And when they didn't get their way, because Jesus would have his way, and then the Spirit of God took residence in their soul, and they became transformed to the point where they blessed their enemies. And they prayed for those who persecuted. I mean, you know, we want to call down judgment, you know, but it's like God calls down mercy and then people are transformed. I think of like Peter, I think of Paul, I mean, who is killing Christians. And you think about the transformation where they rocked the world because suddenly they were stepping into a bigger story. It's exactly what Jesus is asking of us right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. And Susie, that transformation doesn't happen by us just willing ourselves to be more loving or patient or kind, right? Like God doesn't invite us to a self-help program. That's what every other religion is about. God invites us to be in relationship with him. And so as we spend time with Jesus in his word, reading about, like read the gospels, read the account of the Spirit of Jesus in Acts, like spend time with God in his word, you won't be able to help but have him rub off on you. Like you'll want to be more like him. When you experience God's loving kindness and his mercy and his patience toward you personally in Jesus Christ, like when I bring to him the struggles in my life, and I confess them again, and I ask Jesus for his mercy and forgiveness again, and he extends that to me, how will I not then be merciful and patient with my children when they spill the flour all over the floor, right? It's not a, I'm going to try to not lose my temper. It's going to be a, wow, God just showed me so much love. I'm going to show that love toward my children as well. That's the transformation that happens when we spend time with Jesus.
Yeah, Boy, when the closer you are to knowing your need, I think the closer you are to the kingdom. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. It means blessed are those who know their need. Theirs is the kingdom. And the closer we are to knowing how much we've been loved, how much we've forgiven, can we impart that to those who need it? And say a word, if you would, about the name of Jesus as King of Kings.
I love this because, like you said, even when he was on earth in his earthly ministry, like the disciples had a very particular picture of what Jesus as king would look like. And yet Jesus upended that. Like, it was a crown of thorns that he wore. It was a throne of a rough-hewn cross that he was lifted up onto. And yet it was in this upside-down kingdom work that Jesus defeated sin and death and the enemy of our souls and brought this upside-down kingdom on earth. And so when we say that Jesus is the King of Kings, we don't necessarily see his kingdom now, but we know through faith in Scripture, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that his kingdom is coming through us. And yet one day, the book of Revelation tells us that one day he will be seated physically in Jerusalem. He will be the King of all nations in a way that we don't quite understand yet. And so we get to now invite people into that kingdom. I think of the psalmist who says, come, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? He is the King who is exalted. And someday it's not, I want to say this carefully. I think sometimes we have a picture of Jesus as a gentle and lowly shepherd. And in some ways, he is a good shepherd. That is true. And yet, in the book of Revelation, we have a picture of Jesus coming as a King of Kings who enacts justice and righteousness. If you think of all the people who hurt others, who abuse their power, who intentionally disrupt everything that is good and beautiful in the world, our hearts cry out for justice. We want God to enact justice. And someday Jesus will. He will come and bring that justice as the King of Kings. But until then, God's heart and our heart is to call everyone to repentance, to invite everyone to know Jesus as the good King who forgives debts, who invites people to the table to participate in his kingdom. My pastor said this a week ago. He said, when you look at those people around you who you would label as the enemy because their agenda is different than yours or their politics are different than yours, how often does your heart break over them and you pray for them and you cry out to God and ask God to be merciful for them?
Got to pause here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. You may or may not think it's a bit early for Christmas music, but I'm giving you an early Christmas present. We're taking some time to unwrap the names of Jesus. I think we've got to remember that he is Prince of Peace. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And nothing escapes his notice. So I just want to give you some time to exhale, but also to look up and ponder what it means to belong to Jesus, what he's promised us, what it means to be in Christ. Talking to my friend Asherita Chuchu, who's written a beautiful devotional, Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, an Advent devotional. We've got 6 copies to give away. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We were talking about Jesus being the King of Kings, and Asherita, you're right. The entire universe worships the King of Kings. But as humans, we often miss the privilege. We're often so focused on ourselves that we become prideful, angry, and annoyed with others, especially in the busyness of the holiday season. So today, take your eyes off of yourself and fix your gaze on the King of Glory and worship him today. I love that. All right, let's talk Jesus, the light of the world.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a bit earlier, but it does seem like it's dark these days, and not just because of daylight savings time. And man, it gets dark early every afternoon. It seems like just before dinner, there's darkness. But in some ways, it feels like the current situation around us can be dark. And yet you read that verse from Isaiah, right? That the light shines in the darkness. And John says in his prologue at the beginning of his gospel, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. When light enters a dark room, it completely obliterates the darkness. It can't be in the same space. And so I love that when Jesus comes onto the scene, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I think of this, Susie, that even when Jesus shines his light onto my heart and reveals hidden sin, even that is a gift. It's like, I heard this comparison. It's like a fortunate early diagnosis of a deadly cancer. It's disappointing and it's hard to see that it's there. And yet you want that to be discovered. You want it to be brought to light so that healing can take place. And that's the wonderful thing about Jesus is when he reveals something in our own hearts that is dark and hidden, he does it not to expose us or to shame us, but he does it to bring healing and freedom and liberation as the light of the world. What a beautiful gift that is, that he then places his light in our hearts and we get to be light of the world in our neighborhoods and with our people.
I love this. You said the holiday season is filled with lights, strings of lights on Christmas trees, colorful lights on rooftops, inflatable figures on the front lawn. It's easy to allow commercial light pollution to drown out the shining light within us. Today, ask the Spirit of God to shine his light in your life and help you see God's work all around you. Then ask him to shine through you to others that they may see the hope of eternal life and turn to him. This is the thing. There's a lot that's wrong in our culture right now. But Jesus is the hope of the earth. And as his light shines in the darkness through you, through the way that you walk in faith and hope and love, you know, the darkness cannot extinguish it. Who knows what kind of miraculous way God may use you in the life of somebody else, even though we're kind of isolated. Maybe you're dropping something off on somebody's doorstep or sending them a note or a gift in the mail. But, I mean, shine brightly, friends. You know, Asherita, week two is all about preparation. And you reference Isaiah 40, verse 3, prepare the way for the Lord. Give us just some insight on, especially given the context of the times we're in, looking ahead in these coming weeks, what's a really sacred way to prepare a way for the Lord for this holiday season?
Well, one thing that immediately comes to mind, and you know, we've referenced this several times, it's spending time with him. And I think sometimes that can conjure images of like waking up before dawn and trying to have a quiet house. And for some listeners, that's just not possible right now. It's not a reality. Spouses are working from home, or children are doing virtual learning, or you're in a season where adult children have moved back in and quiet might be quite precious to come by. And so I encourage listeners to take some time, even today, in the midst of the busyness, and that first moment that you would reach for your phone to scroll social media or to check the headlines or to check your email, when you find yourself doing that, pause, put your phone back down, and just go to the bathroom, shut the door, be alone with Jesus for just a few minutes, and just be quiet with him in the stillness. Perhaps he will bring to mind a Bible verse that there's something to say, or maybe as you ask God's Spirit, he'll reveal that you're running away from something. Maybe there's too much noise and you use social media to escape the stress, or maybe you feel overwhelmed or out of control, and so you turn to your phone for that. I would encourage us this season, if we would put down the phones and exchange that distraction for real life devotion with Jesus, even just 30 seconds at a time or 90 seconds at a time, those pockets of quiet with Jesus could change everything about this holiday season.
Amen. Draw near to the Lord, and he will draw near to you. another name that you unwrap is Jesus as the truth. And this is especially significant. I mean, I know you wrote this book a few years ago, but in a day, Asherita, where it's my truth and your truth, or I really don't care about the truth because this is my truth, it's everything seems to be up for grabs. But again, just saying it doesn't make it so. And you very much established mm-hmm. Jesus is the truth, and he's the truth that sets us free. So say more about that.
Yeah, it's interesting because Jesus isn't just the opposite of the devil. I think sometimes we think in terms of like black and white and yin and yang, even though we might not use that terminology, and that Jesus is somehow the opposite of Satan. And yet scripturally, nothing could be further from the truth. Like Jesus is God, and he defines what truth is. Lies are simply twisting or perverting what is true. Lies cannot exist without some truth to distort. And when we think of Jesus taking on this name of truth, he is asserting that he is. He defines reality. He is the one who created everything. And so he gets to call the shots and to create the construct of what our world is. He doesn't need anything external to prop himself up or anyone else to affirm that what he says is true. Jesus is God's truth. And when we look at his life, when we look at the ways that he interacted with people, when we look at how he spoke with people and how he loved people, he is revealing what is true about God. And so we know truth by spending time with Jesus. And Jesus says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. I mean, what a beautiful gift we have in him.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. How about this one? Lion of Judah. Love that so much.
it's one of my favorites, and it's one of readers' favorites. It comes up almost every time we talk about the names of Jesus. And I love this moment from C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, where Lucy asks Mrs. Beaver, like, is he safe? Is Aslan the lion safe? And the response is like, who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king. And I mean, that's extra biblical, right? But that's my starting point of thinking. Sometimes, again, we put Jesus in a box of this is who we is, who he is or who we think he is. And oftentimes it's a caricature drawn in our own likeness. But the name Lion of Judah, it starts in the book of Genesis where Jacob talks to his sons and reveals to Judah that from him will come a king. He will be a lion from the tribe of Judah. And we see this name throughout scripture where the prophets talk about the Messiah being the lion. All the way to Revelation, where in the book of Revelation, we see both the lamb and the lion. This image of a lion, I think of for creatures in the wilderness or in the safari, there's no safer place to be than behind the lion of the pride. Everyone who stands in opposition to the lion will be scattered. And we see this in Jesus. Again, one day he will come as the Lion of Judah and he will scatter his enemies. At the roar of the Lion of Judah, everyone will fall. And yet that same roar is comforting to those who stand behind the lion. We are safe with him.
I'm just sitting with that. I just think it's amazing. You said, though Jesus humbled himself as servant to all, he's not a pushover. Do not confuse his humility with weakness. Humility can best be understood as power under control. From being birthed in a manger to being hung on a cross, Jesus' valor lies exactly in the fact that he restrained his glorious might, that he could have obliterated all who stood against him. And then you further write this, Jesus is the triumphant Lion of Judah, and though his enemies scatter in fear, we know he is good. His awe-inspiring strength comforts us, even as it reminds us to posture our hearts in humble adoration. And I mentioned this, I don't know, a few shows ago, but in the last 2 weekends, I've watched the 3 Chronicles of Narnia movies, I highly recommend it, friends. I mean, there's so much there. I mean, his writing is so brilliant. But there was that point where these three children arrive in Narnia, and they're kind of being treated as your warriors. And they're reluctant, of course, to believe that and trying to figure out, get at their footing. And I think it was one of the beavers, but one of the people or citizens of Narnia said, "Welcome to Narnia, your majesties. The witch's power weakens just with your presence here." And I just like that just jumped out at me. And I just feel like, isn't that a picture? Because we are such children. You know, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I so often see us that way. We just don't even know what we don't know. But the more that we know him and our safety in him, the more the enemy loses his foothold in our lives. Love for you just to say a word about that.
Yeah, as you were sharing that, Susie, just the verse that came to mind is, "He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world," right? Because he has overcome the world. And I see a lot of this, especially among Christian women on Instagram, these graphics that are like, she believed she could, so she did, or, you know, these kind of like try harder, you're a goddess type things, even if it's not in that language, as if we have to somehow discover inner power and strength on our own. And that is an empty, broken well. Like, yeah. We have nothing good to offer of ourselves. And that is why the gift of Jesus Christ is so great, is that he doesn't just offer us this abstract salvation. God offers himself. Emmanuel, God with us, in us. Jesus says, "I don't leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you my own spirit to live in you." And so everything that is true about the names of Jesus, he gifts us as an inheritance, that we get to have that in him. I mean, Colossians, the book of Colossians, if you read it, and just highlight every time Paul says, "in him, in Christ, through him, because of him," all of that is ours in Jesus. And so the pressure is off. We don't have to try harder. We don't have to pretend we're somehow something or someone that we're not. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. What an incredible gift that all of him is with us and for us and within us.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of Paul, who boasted in his weakness that the power of the risen Christ may dwell. And I just think we're so afraid of our weakness. We tend to despise it even at times. But in our weakness, he's strong. In fact, the Bible says, "Let the weak say, I am strong." We're going to pause here. When we come back, let's talk about Jesus, the Holy One of God. And I pray, friends, this is a gift for you today. We're unwrapping the names of Jesus. It's an early Christmas present from me to you. Don't you love it? Talking to Asherita Chuchu. And I also wanted you to be aware of the Advent Devo, because Advent starts in a few days. Unwrapping the Names of Jesus by Asherita Chuchu. We've got 6 copies to give away. You can also send questions, comments in a separate text to 877-933-2484. Next, we'll talk about the Holy One of God. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, having a really wonderful conversation with Asherita Chuchu, who's written a beautiful devotional Advent Devo, Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. I'm giving you an early Christmas present. I hope you like it. We're unwrapping the names of Jesus. We've got 6 copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484 if you want in on the drawing. Let's talk about this one, Jesus, the Holy One of God. That one just makes me want to fall to my knees. Say more if you would.
Yeah. And I mean, there's something terrifying about holiness, right? We see this with Isaiah in the Old Testament, when he sees God highly exalted on his throne and the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy." He falls to his face, and rightfully so, recognizing the sin within him. And so there's something that is justifiably scary about God as being holy. But the term holy means to be set apart, to be different from everything else, to be free of any blemish or any sin. And there's no human who has existed on the face of the earth who's been holy except for Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One of God. He's morally perfect. He's never sinned. He never even tempted anyone else to sin. And what we find out is because Jesus is the Holy One of God, he offers us that holiness as well. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so in Jesus Christ, we have received the gift of being holy before God. And what an incredible privilege that is, that we are gifted this, not of anything that we deserve, but Jesus.
Your sound just went a little funky, but I'm going to read this in case you need to reposition. But Asherita writes, when God looks at us, he sees us as holy and righteous because of Jesus. We are already positionally holy before God as we continue to grow practically in this holiness day by day through the power of his Spirit within us. Absolutely powerful. And here's another one, Asherita, along those lines. Lord of Lords, you say when we submit to his lordship, we can rest assured that we are in good hands. Say more if you would.
Can you still hear me?
Okay, yes.
Hi.
Yes. Did you hear my question?
No, I'm sorry, I lost you.
That's okay. Very good. Glad to have you now, though. Okay, let's talk about Jesus, Lord of Lords. You say that when we submit to his lordship, we can rest assured that we are in good hands.
Yeah, well, Lord is kind of a term we don't really use anymore these days, but it would have been familiar to Jesus's first listeners and really throughout history as well, because a Lord is someone who has charge over land, over people, also has a responsibility. And that title was passed on from father to son. But Jesus isn't just a Lord. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. In scripture, he's called the Lord of Righteousness and the Lord of Glory. And people who came up to Jesus often acknowledged him and addressed him that way, calling him Lord. And yet Jesus says, don't just call me Lord, Lord, and then go and do your own thing. An invitation to know Jesus as Lord means that he rules our lives, and he rules with justice and mercy and love. And when we submit to his lordship, we can rest assured that he has our best interest at heart. And so when he calls us to obey him by doing something, when we obey our Lord, which is due him, right? Obedience is due to a Lord and Master. Yet we do that always in a way that brings much fruit, even to our own lives and to the lives of people around us. So he is a good Lord and Master.
Amazing. You know, in your section on joy, you talk about Jesus, Alpha and Omega. So connect joy, which again is in short supply these days. It doesn't need to be, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. But talk about Jesus as Alpha and Omega.
Alpha and Omega is from the Greek alphabet for all of us who have not studied Greek in high school. It's another way of saying A to Z, or beginning to end. But in Greek philosophy, it also encompassed like the totality of everything in existence. And so it's another way of saying, I think Paul says it this way, that to him and through him and for him are all things. Everything finds its meaning and its purpose in Jesus. And the irony, Susie, is that creation knows this. All of creation worships Jesus. Even the animals acknowledge God as their creator. Humans, we're the only ones who like to pretend that we can find our own purpose and meaning on our own. I was sitting in a coffee shop just this morning, and on the other side of the room, there were two men who were talking, and one of them was trying to convince the other that he just needs to awaken to the purpose of the universe within him. And my heart broke over that. And I want to say, no, the purpose of the universe is to worship Jesus. And when you know Jesus, that is when you will find your purpose and your significance and your joy in him.
Amen. I love how you say Jesus. You say it with such reverence. It just is beautiful. Let's talk about this one. Oh, this one. Jesus, our Prince of Peace.
Couldn't we all use some more peace this year? And I know, too, even with family gatherings coming up or being canceled in some situations, like, peace is hard to come by. And yet the biblical meaning of this word peace is shalom. It's not just the absence of conflict, but it's actually bringing everything to its fullest potential, to its fruition. It is being made right in our relationship with God, that we finally get to enjoy the fullness of being with him and in him and being known by him and being loved by him and knowing him. Like, there, the scripture says that Jesus has brought us peace with God, but also he brings us peace with one another. And the angels say this, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill among those to whom his favor is given and imparted as a gift. And so we get to be peacemakers. We get to live at peace with one another. And I'll be honest, that's harder some days than it is others, even in my own life. And yet, as I spend time with Jesus, he teaches me what it's like to live at peace and be a woman of God's peace right where he's placed me.
This is the amazing thing about these names of Jesus and about the fruit of the Spirit, is they're not dependent on circumstances. They surpass and even defy circumstances. And that's our gift. And I think as believers with the Spirit in us, we need to access those things and walk in them. And you say we live in the present reality of God's kingdom, pushing back the kingdom of darkness and bringing to fruition the peace of Jesus. Just as he is the Prince of Peace, so he calls us to be makers of peace all around us. What if that's your assignment this holiday season, friends? Makers of peace all around you. Though the world may be caught up in anxiety and worry, we can rest securely in the knowledge that Jesus is making all things right, and we can participate with him in bringing peace to a broken world as we look forward to the kingdom of peace. Asherita, if you had, I've been asking a lot of my guests the same question, if you had all of Christians in the West, America, North America, all as a captive audience, given the times we're in, what charge would you give them? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say this is the one thing that God has been laying on my heart this year, is that God's call is one of unity. Jesus prayed in his last high priestly prayer, I pray that they might be one, even as you and I are one. And I think that is one thing that has been breaking my heart, and I think breaks God's heart, is when he sees divisions among the people of God. He has called us to unity in the Spirit, to be of one mind and one heart and one accord. And Philippians 2 says to have the same mindset that was in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But it goes on to just reveal how beautifully he served us. And so we are to serve one another.
Beautiful. I'm going to read a prayer out of your book. Emmanuel, I'm so humbled by your display of love. To think that you would willingly give up the glories of heaven to come to this lowly earth, to live with messy people, to die for ungrateful humanity, to secure for us eternity with you. Forgive me for being so caught up in my own little life that I lose sight of that amazing love. Help me never get over the amazement of what you did for me. Asherita, I feel like we should have a standing date every year this time. You've got to come back and we got to talk. I sure love and appreciate you. Thank you for the time today.
Let's do it. It's been an honor, Susie. Thank you.
I always love our conversations. That's Asherita Chuchu. Isn't that the best name ever? We didn't even get to talk about that. Her book is titled Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. But I challenge you, friend, do a heart check. Consider Christ's heart for those that you're struggling with. Walk in love this season. You can do it with the Spirit of God in you. You can do it. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.